I work summers as a camp counselor in the northern parts of Ontario, Canada. On the date this particular incident occurred, I was camping with a group of 10-year-old boys on the same lake the summer camp was based on. So like a routine camping trip, we canoed out to the site and set up our tents. Me and my co-counselor Mike take turns supervising the kids while they swim, build forts and play games, etc. We cook some food over the fire, sit around and tell stories, cook s'mores, the typical Canadian camping experience. Around 9:30-ish, I tell the kids it's time for bed, and they head into their tents, which were positioned a small walk away from the shoreline, but still in line of sight from where we had the fire pit. So the kids have gone to bed, and me and Mike are talking by the water, smoking a cigarette, just basically hanging out, before we decide to head into our tent and call it a night. What happened next still troubles me to this day and remains my go-to scary campfire story. We were both gazing into the pitch-black night water when we saw a small light approaching us slowly and slightly above water level. We speculated what it could possibly be for a few minutes before it came close enough for us to see that it was mounted on the front of a kayak and that someone was approaching our campsite. Now, it is important to note that as a camp counselor, part of our training goes over how to deal with stranger encounters in an environment where we are responsible for a group of children on public property. I was prepared to give the mystery paddler the typical speech about how we are camping with a group from a recognized organization, and we would respectfully ask that they find another campsite. However, this person's appearance shook me to the bone as the light drew nearer. Paddling this kayak was a woman who looked to be in her 60s. She had incredibly long wisps of gray hair that was trailing in the water. Her skin looked like old leather, and her dead-looking eyes were tough to spot under all her wrinkles. She looked directly at me, and when she spoke, I realized she was missing most of her teeth. "Are all your children safe in bed?" she asked me, pointing in the direction of the tents. Not really knowing how to respond, and quite frankly, terrified, I responded by telling her that they were fine and that she had to leave.
"That's good. Just as expected for this time,"
she said with a smile, then turned her kayak and paddled off into the night. At this point in time, myself and Mike were legitimately very creeped out, not only by the appearance of this mystery woman who resembled a corpse, but also her inquiry on the whereabouts and safety of the kids that we had brought on this trip. Not knowing what else to do, we grabbed our hunting knives and sat by the fire after checking on the kids. Half an hour later, across the lake, a female counselor was leading another trip for kids the same age group. She sent me a text, which read something along the lines of, "Hey Sean, stop messing with us. This isn't funny. My kids are really creeped out." I instantly called her and let her know that I had just seen someone near my campsite that seemed eerie and that I was not trying to play a joke on her. Apparently, one of her kids had opened their tent door to go to the bathroom and saw a woman with long gray hair standing a few feet away with her arms outstretched towards them. A few years ago, I lived in my car. I was fresh out of college and overwhelmed with student debt. And being young, dumb, and 21, I thought car living was a good way to save money. I live in Southern California, so the rent is high and the weather is temperate enough to make this possible year-round. One night, I decided to park in a neighborhood I thought I knew well. It was right by the beach and a couple blocks next to an ex-boyfriend of mine, so I felt safe there, as I had walked the streets at night plenty of times. I parked, locked the doors, hung up the curtains so no one could look in, plugged in my earplugs so the cars passing wouldn't wake me, and fell asleep. Now my earplugs were effective, but crappy, and I could always count on them falling off in the middle of the night. I actually preferred this because it meant I could fall asleep, but still hear my phone alarm in the morning. It was about 2 a.m. when I woke up to my earplugs already have fallen off and something feeling wrong. Odd scratching noises were coming from the window. It started at the passenger side door and then moved to the back seat doors. I froze, unsure of what to make of it, painfully aware that I leave my windows slightly cracked at night for ventilation. I honestly didn't know what to do, so I stayed frozen, trying to make sense of it all. That's when the flashlight turned on, and some man unmistakably was shining his light in, trying to find a crack in the curtains, and to my horror, he found one and shined it right where my face was. It's hard to explain, but the position of my head made it so I could piece together what was happening, based on the light everywhere. But he couldn't see my eyes. The scratching then continued, and I knew I was screwed. This went from potential attempted car theft to someone knowing I was in the car. I was literally paralyzed with fear and couldn't will myself to grab the baseball bat that I had. However, my last year of college, I took a class called RAD, which stood for Rape Aggression Defense, and remembered the number one rule: yell confidently and confrontationally at the man. I wish I could say I screamed something truly bad, but what left my lips was a loud, aggravated, and forceful, "Excuse me." It was super lame, but it echoed. To my immense relief, I hear the sounds of his footsteps running away at top speed. But I kid you not, the man was laughing as he ran, like it was some kind of game. I was still paralyzed, but eventually, him running gave me the courage to get up, grab my bat, and shove my way to the front seat, where I started the car and sped away. I didn't see him, and I spent the night at a friend's house. I live in an apartment now. It wasn't until the next morning I realized I had parked one block away from a bar, and at the time of the incident, the bar had just closed. When I was 12, I remember one Friday night, and there's no way that I could ever forget it. My older brother and I were picking up snacks and drinks at a little convenience store for a party that we were holding that night. My brother had me wait in the car while he ran inside to get the chips and whatnot. This happened in the 90s, so cell phones were not really a thing yet, especially for a 12-year-old. I remember abruptly looking up and seeing a man's face peering into the window inches from mine. He had glasses on and looked intelligent, but creepy. He smiled, and it was obvious right then that there was something very off about him. I could tell instantly that his intentions were not good. He said hello, and then asked my name. I gave him a false name, and then he said that his name was John. I gave a nervous and forced smile, and it became increasingly awkward. I looked past the man, hoping to see my brother walking over to the car, but I was filled with disappointment. He was still inside the store. The man, or John, as he said his name was, then asked me if I lived nearby. This was such a red flag that I was almost speechless and just replied, "Not really." He kept a very creepy smile the entire time. I looked over his shoulder again and thankfully saw my brother walking towards the car. Just then, John tried opening the door. Thank the Lord it was locked. I don't remember locking it, but you can bet your ass that I was glad that it somehow was locked. I didn't have time to react, and John immediately walked away after the door didn't budge. My brother walked up seconds later and asked who the hell that was. I was shaking and told him that I had no idea. Nothing else happened that night, and the party was great, but in the back of my mind, I couldn't help but think that this guy was trying to kidnap me. However, about 2 years later, I saw the guy on the news. He was captured and sentenced to death for murdering 3 teenage boys. Sound unbelievable? Trust me, I have trouble believing it myself. 30 years. I'm from Belfast, Ireland. I have a large friend group, and we would always have sleepovers at my house. This is the story of how one campout in my back garden went wrong. I live in a nice neighborhood, mostly with old people in it. It was around Easter, and in my school, we get a week and a half off for Easter break. Just before school ended, we decided to have a campout in my back garden because I recently got a new tent that could fit probably my whole friend group into it. It was the Saturday after we finished, and we all met up at my house around 7 o'clock. We ordered pizza, made marshmallows around the fire, and all in all, we had fun. At around 12:30 a.m., we all decided to crawl into the tent and play some card games, as it was getting quite cold outside. I dealt all 13 decks, and we began a game of Jack Change It. After around 5 different card games, we all ordered some food and climbed into bed to wait for the food to arrive. We got a text message saying that it would be there in around 40 minutes, so we all could relax for a while. The food came, and we all went outside to sit around the fire and eat it. I have a large back garden, and we were at the bottom of it, so we weren't afraid of waking my parents up by singing and talking loudly. After finishing our food, we got back into the tent and decided to get some rest. When everyone had drifted off to sleep, I was awoken by a strange sound. A sort of whistling sound. I brushed it off as being me dreaming, but around 2 minutes later, there it was again. Every 2 minutes, it happened. I woke up my friend and told her to listen. Right after I said that, there was a different kind of whistle, and it came from the other side of the tent. This was when we decided to wake everyone else up. After around 10 minutes of listening to the whistling going back and forth, we heard footsteps coming from behind the tent. The crunching of leaves made us all fall still. We counted to 3 and broke out of the tent sprinting. All of us ran as fast as we could to the back door. Once we were all in, we locked it and looked out the window. We could just barely make out 3 people standing in the garden looking up at us.